Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. So I just want to share a few things with you today, and we'll look at the time, and I'll cut it off when it's time. I want to read to you a verse out of Proverbs, Proverbs 18, verse 21. We started a direction last week, and I think it's important for us to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit the best we know how. And so, but anyway, Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." As we talk, and I know last week I had several of you ask me, who's been telling you about me? I love to hear that, because that is an indication to me that the Holy Spirit is dealing with all of our hearts. And trust me, nobody's been telling me about you. But you know what? The Holy Spirit knows all about you, and He knows all about me. And He just has one objective, and that's to bring us closer to the Father. Just one objective. For us to realize the love of God more, because He knows as He leads us that way, then we become more. And so I'm not telling. I don't get up here and try to tell you how to live. I just hope that the Holy Spirit will use something I say to trigger something inside of you and take you on the journey that He wants to take you on. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. I read some verses out of Matthew 12, and I think I'll just read them again this week, since they seem to stir up some things in our hearts. But Jesus said this. He said, "Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood vipers, or you offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil things, treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." This is just a powerful portion of Scripture. If you weren't here last week, and I say this all the time, and not very many do it, but get the CD. Just see what God would do, what the Holy Spirit would do, and help you. This portion of Scripture is probably one of the most important portions of Scripture to me. It's one that I use every day to examine myself and to check myself, to locate myself, if you will. I said last week, but we understand here. He's not. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but when I was young, whenever preachers and different Sunday school teachers and different ones would read me the Bible, they'd read it to me real stern and real mean and real loud and real, and then when they told me God loves you, it just didn't feel much like love. And this portion of scripture here, you know, Jesus was a little upset. Matter of fact, he was mad. And it's okay to get mad, just be angry and sin not. And he didn't sin, but he was talking to some folks that just had been attributing what the Holy Spirit was doing through him, had been attributing that to the devil. And he's talking to them. He says, "You evil, you offsprings of a viper." Jesus knew how to pick just the right words to get his point across. But you know, he wasn't talking to people that he didn't love. He was talking to people that were judging, and people that were the Pharisees, and they were picking at everything he did and everything he said, and actually talks of evil here, but he actually was talking to unsaved folks. And I don't know about you, but I've learned that how many know before you got saved, before God caused you to be born again, you had a pretty evil heart. You thought things and did things and said things and hurt and tore up and cursed and you know, but I found out something else, that even after I got saved, there was still a lot of that stuff in there. When you get saved, your spirit gets born again. It's created new. How many know your body doesn't get saved and your mind doesn't get saved, your soul, but your spirit gets saved? And that's why the Bible tells us to renew our mind now. Whenever we make that decision for Christ, our spirit becomes new. And now comes the work, because now I'm supposed to renew my mind and I'm supposed to buffet my body, Paul said. Now he said buffet, not buffet. Okay? He said buffet. In other words, it's time now for me to get to work. It's time now for me to begin to realize some things. It's time now for me to let my soulish realm and my physical realm catch up with my spirit realm. And so, you know, the things we say and the things we do are important. Sometimes we just we take getting saved for granted, and we just take it that, oh yeah, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but you know what? God would like to get a little bit of heaven in us while we're down here. And so I don't have much patience with those that just pray the prayer and say they get saved, and then you can't tell anything about their life. I mean, you can't tell any difference in their life, and they can't, let me just say, we're all there sometimes. So I don't want any of us to get self-righteous here, because about the second you do, then you'll just see how much stuff can come out of that heart. You know, the Spirit goes to work on us, and He begins to change us, and we begin to renew our mind. And we know how we renew our mind. We begin to put the Word in there. We begin to read, and we begin to spend time with God, and we begin to talk with Him. And you know, it's just something. So many times we try to change all of our things, and you know, you can't change. You can have willpower for a while and quit something or not do something, but see, what God's after is a change in our heart, a new heart. What He's after is the Holy Spirit wants us just to, we have to agree to that, and we have to make a choice that that's what I want. I have to say, you know, God, I don't want this in my life anymore. I don't want to be that way. I want you. I want your will. And See, he has to have our cooperation, but if we'll give it to him, the Holy Spirit goes to work inside of us, and he begins to change us from the inside out. And I always pictured it like I don't know, heard somebody say, it might have been Joel, but I heard somebody say, you know, if you've got a glass of dirty water, and you can either pour the water out and fill the glass back up, or you can just pour the clean, fresh water in it, and after a while, it'll push all the old dirty water out of the glass, and pretty soon, you'll have a glass of fresh water, and you can drink it. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do to us. He wants to take us and flush all that stuff out. That's a whole lot better than me trying to quit. And we ought to try, and we ought to put our will and our effort in it. But you see, what the Holy Spirit's after is for us to be transformed or be conformed. Paul said in Romans 8, he said that was God's plan from the purpose. From it was his predestined purpose for us that we be conformed into the image of his dear Son. So he begins to lead us and guide us, the Holy Spirit does, into all truth. Now he'll lead us and guide us into the truth about ourselves, and then he'll lead us and guide us as we learn the truth about ourselves and allow him to change, then he leads us into the truth about God's will for our life. And you see, I just want everybody that's hearing me, I just want everybody here to have all that God has for you. I want every one of you here to live the fullest life you can have. I don't care if you're young or old. I want the rest of your days to be as full of God as they can be. And so Paul says we are being conformed into the image of his dear Son. And to conform means to be similar or the same as something. It means to obey and agree with something. It means, in other words, to do what Jesus does and to behave the way Jesus would behave. That's pretty simple and easy, isn't it? But it means to be similar or identical, to be in agreement and be in harmony with. And so what the Holy Spirit does is he wants to make the changes in my life so that he can make me like Jesus. He wants to make the changes in your life so he can make you like Jesus. What the world needs, what the lost people need, they don't need to see more religion. They don't need to see more religious hatred. They don't need to see more bitterness. They need to see somebody that the love of God's working in, somebody that their life's being transformed. Somebody that's becoming a new creature. Their body, their mind, we're getting in tune with what God has. And you know, we all have some heart trouble. All of us. But just because you have some wrong things in your heart doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Just because you did something wrong doesn't mean that you're bad. It just means you got tripped up. It just means that somehow the enemy got a stronghold in there. It just means that somehow he just when he gets those roots in our heart, he just controls us and pulls our strings. And so God wants to change that in us. He wants to do that, and He needs our cooperation. I was reading about navigational instruments. And Ron, I was reading about one. It's called I don't know if I can say it right, sextant. And it's a deal that you can tell, like if you're on a ship, you can tell where you are by looking at the horizon and the stars, and you can locate yourself. And I found out that it was first recorded first recording of its use was in the 1700s by a guy named John Hadley. Anyway, might be related, who knows. But these instruments used by nautical navigators and pilots, they're used to ascertain a position, to determine the speed and direction and so on, and to calculate all this so that you can arrive at the point of destination. In other words, you can get where you're going. That's what I use these scriptures here for, to navigate. See, as we navigate through life, we have to have something that we can hold on to, something that we can look to, something that that will help us locate ourselves and help us learning and calculate exactly where we are with God, because many think they're religious. And James said, if you think you're religious and you haven't bridled your tongue, he says it's all in vain. It's not working. And I don't think even James was getting on us. And it's just, I want something to work. I need to locate myself. I need to be able to. And this isn't something that I can do and then do it again a few months from now. No, this is something that I do every day. And then discover exactly where I am. And then I began to calculate. I began to see what it takes, because I want to get to where I'm supposed to be. I want to get to where the will of God's full in my life, and I'm conformed to His image, and I want to get to where I'm led by His Spirit. And so I use these verses because I've learned that just by listening to what I say and how I say it, I can pretty much locate where I can tell when there's something wrong in my heart. And again, just because you detect something wrong in your heart, that doesn't mean you're bad and God's not getting on you. He wants you to see that. He wants you to recognize that. He wants you to go that direction. He wants to help you with that. Because if He can get that out of there, see, I've learned if He can get my heart right, my faith will work. And I can tell where I'm at. I can tell when I wake up grumpy by the way I start talking. I can tell when the things are wrong in there. I can tell when things aren't right. And I usually will catch myself now, and I'll just stop and I'll go, hold it. What's going on? What's in there that I need to change? What's in there that we need to work on, Holy Spirit? And I don't want to start this day off that way. You ever start the day off and you start off and you're kind of feeling like you're behind when you start, and so you start off trying to catch up, and then you get in the car and you take off to go, and at every stop sign there's a jerk in front of you, and the lights don't change fast enough, and all the rest. I've learned to go, wait a minute, hold it. The jerk's not up there, the jerk's in this car. And are you clapping because you think I'm a jerk? Or but I'm learning to examine my. You see what I'm saying? I'm learning to take care of business, because you see, when it all boils down, you know, the judgment that this talks about is it's me and Jesus. It's, you know, it's us. You're not going to be there. I'm not going to be there. I mean, I'm going to be there. You're not going to be there. It's going to be me and Him. When you're there with Him, I'm not going to be there. But you know what? I've found that many of us never get the victory. Many of us never we never finish the journey. We never finish the process because it hurts too much. We've learned to run from pain. We've learned to back up from pain. And if it hurts too much, we gotta get out from under it somewhere. We've got to defend ourselves, or we've got to justify ourselves, or I have to shift the blame, and it's your fault I'm feeling this way. And because see, it doesn't hurt as bad if I think it's you than if I think it's me. Are you understanding me? Does that make sense? And so the problem is the process is never completed in us, and we just go on. And you know, can I just say something? When you have a bad spirit or you're a bad attitude, or that's what I mean when I say a bad spirit or a wrong spirit. It's just a wrong attitude or wrong influence in there somewhere. You're usually the only one that doesn't know about it. Everybody else around you knows. Sometimes it's just too painful to finish the process, so we get sidelined. You know, the question is, how bad do you want all God has for you? Yeah. The question is, how eager are you to get to your destination? Your destination's not heaven, by the way. You're going to end up in heaven, but your destination is to be all that you can be for God while you're here. Okay? If you got Jesus in your heart, you'll go to heaven. That's settled. That's taken care of. But it's right here that we need to do a little bit of work. It's right here Jesus said, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let it be done here in earth like it is in heaven. In other words, Father, teach me to make it just like, teach me to make it just like it is in heaven right here. That's what he prayed. And so when I tell what comes out of my mouth, I'm able to, it's an indicator of what's in my heart, because Jesus said that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And I want good treasure in there, don't you? And so I have to admit it to myself. I have to face it. I have to own it. I have to say, hey, this is part of me, and I don't want it there anymore. You know, my wife likes me a lot better now than she did 20, 30 years ago. Huh? Because I'm trying to be different. Huh? Some couples, when they the older they get, the more they drift away, but it seems to be working the opposite with us. And I like it. I like it. Should be that way with you. But see, out of my mouth will come blessings or cursings. Out of my mouth will come good things or bad things. Out of my the words in my mouth are life and death, and they're not only life and death to me, but they're life and death to you. So I ought to be paying attention to what I say. Now let me just throw something out here, and I don't know who this is for, but if it's for you, nobody told me about you. But it's not your job to straighten somebody else out. I'm sorry. God never gave you that assignment, so take your sheriff's badge off and quit trying to police the kingdom, because it's not your job to straighten anybody out. Well, I just don't see how they can. That's the problem. You just don't see. And so the Bible does instruct us to get those planks out of our own eyes, so then we can see the splinters in each other's eyes. So that's the problem. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it come the issues of life. Out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart, because out of your heart comes everything you do. Everything you are. And we know the Bible, Proverbs says, as a person thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. Or she. What did Jesus say? He said, it's interesting, he said, you'll be held accountable for every idle word. Now what I want us to do here for just a minute here, and I have to do this fast, but I want us to get past our position. We can locate ourselves by what we're saying, but I want us to get talk a little bit about our destination, where we're supposed to be. And he says in verse 36 there, he says, for every idle word. That word idle can mean a lot of things, but in this instance it means inoperative or non-working. You see, there's power in our mouth. We either speak life or death. We either speak blessings or cursings. James said that through the same mouth we praise God, and then we be ugly with each other who was created in God's image. And James said it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Luke 17:6 says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. See, you can say, Mark 11, let me just read that real quick. Mark 11. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, they were talking about, they came back and the fig tree that Jesus had cursed was dried up from the root. You know the story. And he says, have faith in God, or a better translation is have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Okay? Said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. In your mouth, out of your mouth come the issues of your life. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Words. 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 You notice here he said, what you say. What you say. How do I release this power that's within me? I release this faith and this power that's within me with words. He said, you can say. Not you can think, but you can say. How do the issues of life come? They come out by me saying. Now listen, I know everybody won't get this, but you can. Jesus said we could have whatever we say. Oh, and let me, I left a verse out because we leave 25 and 26 out. But just because they've put a little space in there, it doesn't mean he's talking about something else. Verse 25 says, and. I mean, you know, and is a conjunction. And ties what he's and or but, or it ties what he's about to say with what he just said. What did he just say? You can have whatever you say, and whenever you stand praying or saying it, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. So your Father in heaven may forgive you also your trespasses. But if you do not forgive them, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I just think sometimes we just kind of skate over that. But what he's saying is, and this forgiveness is not just it is an act of forgiving. If you hurt me or do something to me, Scott, and then it's my choice, I forgive you. But it's more than that. It's a characteristic, it's a spirit, it's an attitude, it's a You know, I need to be a forgiver. I need to be of that spirit. I need to be of that same spirit Jesus was. I mean, when you do something, I shouldn't have my feelings on my sleeves. I shouldn't be so easily offended. I mean, when you say something, I should just let it go because I should trust you and I should know your heart and I should love you. And that's what love does. And what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, Hank, you can't let these attitudes get in there and your faith work. How many ever spoke, because you read that and you spoke to something and the something you spoke to, it didn't happen. But see, we've all got mountains in our life. We've all got issues. And we can use our words to change our world. Help me, Holy Spirit. You see, I can't have everything that I say if I'm wasting words. I can't have everything that I say if it's all about I'm mad at you and you did me wrong and all this hatefulness and all this unforgiving, all this mean-spirited negativism. And that's all we see on the news media now, and that's all we see in the campaigns. But don't let that spirit, don't let that attitude gain hold of you, because it stops our faith from working. But we can be at a place with God where we change our situations. We speak to our mountains. We speak to our finances. We speak to our health. We speak these words for others. And we, instead of cursing them and being down on them and being negative about them, we speak positive things into them and positive things for them. And we try to let all of our words bless you instead of make you feel good instead of make you feel bad. Is that a good way to say it? I want us to understand. Well, I just say what I think, Hank. That's the problem. We're thinking the wrong things. As a man thinks in his heart, or a woman thinks in their heart, that's the way they will be. Now, I just got to tell you, I'm a mess. I mean, I just got to be honest with you. I'm a mess. I mean, God's told me, Hank, you got words. You can speak to mountains; they'll move. Trees will get plucked up. You know, you can speak to things. He says, and I'm telling you, you can change situations. And what are you doing? I'm talking ugly about the government. I'm talking ugly about the politicians. I'm talking ugly about this one and that one. I'm just talking about how upset I am, and I'm talking about how, and the more I talk, the more I get that way. Did you ever notice that the more you talk about something that's eating at you, it eats at you more? And pretty soon I get, and man, I'm just spitting fire, and I'm just, you know, if I spit, the grass will die where I spit, you know. Because out of my mouth isn't coming something that'll edify. It's not something coming that'll beat you up. And how come I say something to you if I'm upset with you and I say something to you and it crushes you and it makes me feel better? Hadn't ought to be that way. I'm just talking to you as a pastor and you know, but I'm in a mess. I've got the power to speak things, and I'm speaking the wrong things, and so now you can judge yourself with this, because if you're sitting there going, wow, I didn't know you were that way, Hank. I didn't know you were that way. I don't pastors this. Then you're missing it. You should be sitting there going, yeah, that's me. Yeah, yep, I did that before. I mean, some of you guys ought to be apologizing to your wife before you get home today, and vice versa. I'm learning just to catch myself. I start saying something, and I'll be short with Pam, and I'll just go, wait a minute, I didn't mean that, and then I'll just go off by myself and say, well, what's causing that? She didn't do nothing to cause that. Something in your heart's causing that. But it's easier for me to blame you. I mean, because it's your fault that I'm in this shape. Well, I've learned that anytime anything rises up in there, I'm the one that's got the problem. Anything rises up in there. And it doesn't mean sometimes it's not rightfully so. And it doesn't mean that we all do it. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. So if you're feeling guilty, then I'm sorry. I'm just talking about me, okay? Well, see, Jesus is ready for some mountain-moving words. He's ready for some tree-plucking up words. He's ready for some storm-calming words, some wind-stopping words. He's ready for that all of creation is waiting for some sons and daughters of God to raise up and speak what God speaks into this earth. Well, I'm working on it. How about you? And the problem is, when you go to working on it, it seems like you take one step forward and three steps back. But that's okay. Just keep stepping forward. Just keep working on it. Because you don't see the progress while you're making it. You don't see it till you get up the road a little ways. You look back and you go, wow, that's what all that was about. Am I saying anything where you can understand it? Why are you doing all this, Hank? Well, I'm doing all this because God's let me see some big things. And I know that the things that I've seen and the things that I've imagined, that they're not anything yet, because my eye hadn't seen and I haven't imagined the things that God has in store for me. And so I know, and I'm ready to see some of you step into some of this. Where are we working towards? See, we have the same power working in us that God spoke the worlds into existence with. And I don't know, young people, I was listening to somebody talk about the Big Bang Theory the other day. I haven't really read that, so I don't really know what it is. So don't mishear me here. But I believe I have a Big Bang Theory. God spoke, and there was a big bang, and it all came into existence. So, anybody wants to tell me about the Big Bang Theory? I'll tell them about my Big Bang Theory first. But listen, did you know something? I was praying for somebody the other day, and I said, Lord, I'm just believing you to heal them. I'm just asking you, Father, to touch them and to heal them. And something inside of me said, I started thinking a little thought. Words that Jesus said. Did you know Jesus never once, that's recorded, said, Father, would you heal him? He didn't say, Father, would you give us some money for our income tax? He said, Peter, go fishing and get that coin out of that fish's mouth. Kenny, you ever found a coin in a fish's mouth? Huh? It's your turn. No, he spoke. Let me just read you a few verses here and we'll quit. I'll give you some more next week maybe. John 5:30, Jesus said this. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. He didn't say I won't. He said, I can't. In John 8, verse 26, he said, the Father that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him. John 14:10, he said, the words that I speak to you, he said, I'm not speaking them. They're not my words, but they're the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. Oh, are you hearing? Because just then right after that he says, and you'll not only be able to do the works that I did, but greater works than these will you do. Why? Because I'm going to the Father and I'm sending our Spirit down here to live inside of you. Well, that's what he said in John 16. And he said this. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he'll not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come, and he will glorify me, for he will receive what's mine, and he'll show it to you. And hey, everything Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take all that's mine and will show it to you. Folks, we're supposed to make a difference. Huh? And we can do it with our words, with our faith in what God said. That's why in Isaiah he said, my word won't come back to me void. He said it'll accomplish. It'll produce, it'll be fruitful. It'll accomplish what I sent it to do. How does it come back? It comes back when we speak it. And it's not enough to know it here, but when it's coming out of here, there's a force. And you have a power inside of you, a power of God inside of you. And you need to start believing, and you need to start paying attention, and you need to start trying to hear, and you need to listen to what you're saying, and start eliminate some of the things that you're saying, and I need to do it, and some of the things, and start saying some of the things that God says. That's just where I'm at, okay? And we're supposed to make a difference, folks. I'm sorry, I don't know who's going to get elected president. So far, it looks like we lose either way. But I'm not moved because I'm not part of this kingdom. I'm part of God's kingdom. In the days Jesus was here, in the early church, in the apostles, in those days it was a lot worse than it is now. Has anybody been arrested lately for preaching? Do you know anybody that's had their head cut off? Or been put in jail and whipped? And yet Jesus stood there and said, God, how do we pray, Jesus? Father, your name is excellent. It's you, God. You are magnificent. Your name is great. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Cause us to be just like here, just like it is there. Cause us to make a difference, God. Take care of our daily bread. Take care of our needs, Father. But let me concentrate on the right thing and let me forgive like you forgive me. Let me walk in that place of power with you. And don't let me be tempted. Don't let me be distracted. Don't let me be pulled away from my faith. Don't let me be paying attention to the things going on around me. Deliver me from the evil one, Father. Because it's your kingdom. It's your glory. It's your power. And it's forever. Yeah. I'm just saying, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. And I hope that you'll leave here today and you'll go, Holy Spirit, help me hear what I just heard. Teach me what I just heard, because that's what I'll be walking away doing. Okay? But let me say something. You don't wait until everything's perfect. You start right now where you are. You use these instruments, this portion of Scripture, and you start paying attention to what's in your heart by what you're saying, and start changing it. and start speaking to some of those mountains. It's not, Father, will you heal me? It's body. The Bible says that by His stripes you are healed, so I speak healing into you. You hear me? Speak to those mountains. It's not, God, give me some finances. No, He said He meets all of our needs according to His riches in glory. I'm not trying to divert the conversation or to divert the conversation you have with God any, but I'm just saying is we need to realize He already has put His power in us, and all of creation is waiting, they're groaning, waiting for some of us to come up with some words. Come up with some power in our life. Be a channel that He can flow through. And so I just challenge you. Are you having problems in here? You just say, I speak healing into you, colon. I speak healing into you, prostate. I speak healing into you, all the digestive tract. I speak healing into you, intestines. I speak healing into you, stomach. I speak healing into you, heart. I speak healing into you. You understand what I'm saying? I speak God's healing to you, tumor. I curse you in Jesus' name. I tell you, dry up from the root. Do you understand what I'm saying? Begin to speak to those finances. Begin to speak to those things and believe that when you do it, God will make it work. Now listen, what will happen is you'll start, and God doesn't wait for us to get, we're waiting for something. He doesn't wait for us to get everything fixed so He can start doing it. His grace will let that start working for you. His grace will cause that to start working. And then while it's working, you'll begin to realize then things that you say and you go, whew, that wasn't very fruitful. I'm not saying that again. And as He shows you those things, you deal with Him. Is this making any sense? I'm just trying to get somebody. Everybody won't hear this, but you can. I'm just trying to get somebody to quit waiting on God to do big things in your life and let Him start doing them today. He'll clean up the house while you're gone. Huh? His grace is good. Huh? Has He ever blessed you when you were so far off track that... Sure He has. Sure He has. Did He ever keep blessing you after you got off track? Sure He did. Sure He did. His grace is powerful. His grace is magnificent. But while we're stepping into this, He'll tune us up and He'll show us things. And I'm just praying that we'll quit waiting. Huh? Somebody said, yeah, God's gonna send people in to fill these seats up. And I before I even thought, I said, yeah, but He told us to go bring them in. Huh? Well, so I started asking people to come to church. A few of you are here today. It'll work. But what if they say no? That's not your end of it. Our end of it's to go in the world and tell. Go and tell what? Go tell them, man. Go tell all these mountains. Go tell all these people about the God that we serve, the Jesus that we serve. Go tell them. Go speak His word into this earth. Somebody's things are going to start happening different in your life this week. And all you have to do is say, I volunteer. I say this almost every day. I'll hear something and almost every day I go, God, I don't have a clue what that means, but I'm in. Count me in. I mean, God, I don't understand anything He just said, but I want it. Huh? I mean, some of these guys, I mean, I listen to Keith Moore. He's one of my heroes. And he'll say stuff and I'll go, whoo, God, I don't have a clue. But count me in. I want that. I'm going that way. See, you just have to say, here I am. Listening to a Billy Graham thing the other day. And the part that I got out of that whole tape, Greg, was he just said, I surrender. I surrender. And you know what God this would like us to do right now? Is just surrender. I just surrender. I give up, God. I just surrender all. The mess that I am, I just surrender all. Does that make any sense? Everybody stand up. You know, my heart is breaking for people that don't know Jesus. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask that you don't leave here without knowing Him. This invitation won't be real long, but if you'll come on down here after we close, and we want to pray with you. But how many in here, I don't even care if you raise your hand or not, you can if you want, but how many in here just say, you know, Lord, I'm asking you to start helping me learn, see the condition of my heart. Help me with my words. Help me say the right thing. Help me see the right thing. Just tell Him right now, God, I surrender that to You. I surrender that to You. Oh, we're held captive with the words of our mouth. And I just made my mind up. I'm going to speak blessings for you. And I'm going to make sure that everything that comes out of my mouth is blessing and not cursing. Now, I said I'm a mess. I'm a work in progress. But that's my destination. That's my destination. Some are already coming. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, it's real easy. You just have to call on Him. It says whoever will call on Him. But it's not just some words with our mouth. It's calling on Him. It's surrendering. It's saying, God, I give You my life. And I don't know, maybe there's somebody in here that you've prayed the prayer before, but nothing seemed to happen. Maybe you just haven't surrendered to Him and given Him your life. But He went to the cross for you and for me. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, just right now say, I surrender to You, Lord. I give You my life. I ask You to be my Lord. I want to be with You forever. Help me. I need Your help. How many raise your hand and say, help, Lord, help. And if you're doing that for the first time, don't worry about it. We're all here. We're all yelling, help, help, help. Because without Jesus, nothing works. And nothing's been working in your life, but it's just your life's not designed to work without Jesus. So anyway, let's sing one verse. And if you need to come, if you prayed that prayer, you want to, you come, let one of us pray with you. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life. Maybe you're here today and you want to get baptized. I think we already got somebody getting baptized. Whatever, if you just need to pray or you just need somebody to agree with you, we're going to sing one verse and you come.